stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me.
Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgave all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases,
who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy,
who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed.
He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever.
He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth,
so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west,
so far does he remove our transgressions from us.
As a father shows compassion to his children,
so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our refuge and strength, the author of all godliness, hear the devout prayers of your church, especially in time of persecution, and grant that we ask in faith we may obtain, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for our readings. The Old Testament reading for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost comes from Genesis chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is from Romans chapter 14. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will stand before the judgment seat of God. We will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Then Peter came up and said to Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated for our sermon hymn.
you can say he died for all. If you cannot rouse the wicked with the judgment's dread alarms, you can lead the little children to the Savior's waiting arms. If you cannot be a watchman standing high on Zion's wall, pointing out the path to heaven, offering life and peace to all. With your prayers and with your bounties, you can do what God commands. You can be hands. Let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do. While the multitudes are dying and the Master calls for you, take the task he gives you gladly. Let his work your pleasure be. Answer quickly when he calleth, here am I, send me, send me.
To you who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In relation to our gospel reading today, I wonder if Peter had someone particular in mind when he asked Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Now, don't get me wrong. I think Peter had the right idea here, whether he was talking about someone in particular or not. After all, Jesus had just given instructions earlier, as recorded in Matthew 18, on that process of reconciliation and forgiveness, which probably prompted the question. But here's why I think that Peter was maybe asking the question with the wrong motivation. He's looking at this forgiveness that Jesus is talking about as an obligation rather than a gift received first by God and then given to others. Because after all, how easy is it for us to forgive someone when they've sinned against us? Sometimes it's not easy at all. And depending upon the severity of the offense, we could say it's just about impossible at times. And so where does that forgiveness come from? Does it come from the goodness of our hearts? Does it come from our sense of reason? Is it something we really ought to do? How do we muster up the willpower to forgive? If we have the mentality of Peter, that I am obligated to forgive, then we would ask that question, how many times am I obligated to do that? And if that's the true question, okay, how many times am I obligated to forgive, then we really better figure out the answer, which is why Peter asks the question. But to help illustrate this story a bit, we can go to our Old Testament reading for today, where we've got Joseph and his brothers. And Joseph forgave his brothers. And this was no tiny offense either. You know, maybe there's some insight to be gained here on what it really truly means to forgive and where that source of forgiveness comes from. So the text reads, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, it may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him. Now, there's two things here to keep in mind. One, the brothers were right. They had indeed done evil to Joseph. And two, they were right also to think that Joseph would hate them for it and that he would seek revenge, because according to our sinful nature, honestly, that's our initial reaction. We have that reaction to pay back evil with evil. So what evil had the sons of Jacob done to their brother? Well, you may recall from earlier in the book of Genesis that Joseph was their father, Jacob's favorite son, and he didn't hide that fact from his other sons either. He made him a special multicolored coat to wear, And when the brothers saw that their brother loved him more than all of the others, they hated him, and they could not speak peacefully to him. And to make matters worse, Joseph had dreamed some dreams, and when he told his brothers about them, they hated him even more, because in his dreams, Joseph said that all of his brothers bowed down to him. So, of course, the brothers were angry at the thought that Joseph would one day rule and reign over them. And in their anger, some of them decided that they wanted to kill Joseph. They were that angry. And so they threw him into a pit one day. And as they were trying to figure out what to do with Joseph, some Ishmaelites came along who were on their way to Egypt, some slave traders, and they thought, you know, we shouldn't kill him. He is our brother after all. So instead, we'll just sell him into slavery. And so as Joseph is being taken into slavery in Egypt, against his will, his brothers took his coat of many colors, soaked it in the blood of an animal, took it back to their father, and convinced him that Jacob, their father, that Joseph, his favorite son, had been mauled by a wild animal, and he is now dead. So, that's not really so bad. I mean, why would Joseph be upset about that, right? I mean, Joseph didn't have the best time in Egypt, sure. But, I mean, really, it's not that big of a deal. Of course it's a big deal. It's a huge deal that his brothers did this to him. And to make matters worse for Joseph, who things were going pretty well at first in his first assignment, but then he was accused of sexual misconduct, and he was sent to prison for many years. So the situation had ultimately gone from bad to worse. And while he's in prison, you have to wonder, you know, was Joseph just stewing all those years in prison about what his brothers had done to him? How could he not? How could he not be upset? I mean, he shouldn't be there in prison, in Egypt. He should be at home with his father, with his wife that he doesn't even have yet because he was sent into slavery at such a young age. He should have been a recipient of the promise of God as a child of Abraham, that God was going to bless him and his children. It was truly evil what the brothers of Joseph did to him. Well, if we know the story, after a long course of events, Joseph is released from prison. He is given a very high position in the Egyptian government because Joseph correctly interprets the dreams of Pharaoh, and he helps prepare Egypt for a drought that plagued the land for 7 years. And during the famine, what do you know? Joseph's brothers show up in Egypt, bowing down to Joseph, just as he predicted in his dreams, asking for food, asking for the Egyptians to help them. And he did. Joseph did help them. And in fact, he brought all of his family to Egypt. And he did not exact revenge on his brothers. He did not show anger toward his brothers. So he brought them all to Egypt to live where they would have enough food to see them safely through the famine. And they were there for many years. And that's what brings us up to our reading today in Genesis chapter 50. Because after being in Egypt for many years, Jacob died. And evidently, Joseph's brothers feared that the only thing that kept Joseph from treating them badly was that their father was still alive. But now that he's dead, surely, they thought, Joseph is going to exact his revenge. He's going to get back at us now. They knew that they didn't deserve Joseph's forgiveness. I mean, they had treated him terribly. And don't forget, all those years they'd even lied to their father, making him believe that Joseph, his favorite son, was actually dead. So what was Joseph going to do? They were afraid. They even resorted to some more deceitfulness. They sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died." No, he didn't. "Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." So Joseph's brothers kind of have the same mentality as Peter. They think, okay, if Joseph feels like he's obligated to forgive us, then maybe he will. They couldn't imagine that Joseph would not pay them back for their evil. In their sinfulness, in our sinfulness, though, isn't that what we do? That's what we want. When someone sins against us, we don't wish them the best. In fact, when someone wrongs us, we cannot help but think the worst for them. I mean, we maybe even have said to ourselves things like, well, I hope they choke on it, or they better not cross me again, or they're going to get an earful. Or when something bad does happen to them, we might even say or think, serves them right, they got what they deserved. But that's not what Joseph did. His brothers came, and they fell down before him, and Joseph... I lost my place in my sermon here. His brothers came and fell before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for I am in the place of God. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. I mean, that's unbelievable. After what Joseph's brothers had done to him, that he could come to this place of peace and forgiveness. And so the question is, you know, could you do the same? And so this story that we have in Genesis chapter 50 is very specific, right? I mean, there's a very specific offense caused by the brothers against Joseph, and a very specific act of forgiveness from Joseph. And the question that Peter asks, however, in our gospel reading is general. So whereas Joseph's forgiveness is very concrete and impactful, I mean, that story kind of hits home for us, Peter's might seem a little hypothetical and make us kind of wonder, is Peter just trying to be generous with his forgiveness? But like I said earlier, I think Peter has the right idea here. Because he understands disciples of Christ forgive. People of faith, like Joseph, forgive those who have wronged them. But Peter is thinking in terms of forgiveness as an obligation, as were the brothers of Joseph. Am I obligated to forgive someone? And if so, how many times? 7 times? Because that's kind of a lot, but I'm feeling generous today. 7 times? And Jesus says, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times, or some translations will even say 70 times 7 times. And if there are any mathematicians here today, you've probably already figured it out in your head, that's 490 times. But that's not the point that Jesus is trying to make, because if you're keeping track, 77 times tally mark, or if you're keeping track 490 times, it doesn't matter. That's not the point. The point is not to keep track of your forgiveness. And why? Because it's not like you're going to gain anything for yourself by forgiving your brother who sinned against you. It's not an obligation, and once you've fulfilled your obligation, you've done your part. Instead, the forgiveness that we have for ourselves flows to others around us from the gospel. And think of it this way: is God the Father obligated to forgive you? And the answer is no, he's not. But he does it anyway. And how does he do it? Even though we don't deserve it, in Christ, he forgives us. And now that we have that forgiveness of Christ, how does that affect our relationship with others? After all, God forgives their sin as well. The blood of Christ has covered that sin as well. Who are we to stand in the place of God and say, "No, I don't offer you my forgiveness," as if God has not already forgiven you? And see, that's the point of the parable that Jesus tells of the unmerciful servant. That first servant owed his master a huge debt, 10,000 talents, which would be worth millions of dollars in today's currency. He can never pay that back. And yet, remarkably, the master forgives that debt unconditionally, free and clear, no further obligation. That's like the forgiveness that we've received from Christ. It's a huge debt, unconditionally forgiven, paid in full by the blood of Christ. So are we like that unmerciful servant who sees a fellow servant who owes him 100 denarii and is unwilling to forgive? Now, 100 denarii is nothing really to sneeze at. I mean, a denarii is a day's wage, so 100 denarii is a big deal, because it would take 100 days in order to, you know, make that much money. Is it as bad as selling your brother into slavery? Probably not, but it is manageable, right? It's something that that guy could conceivably pay back given enough time. Even still, it is a big deal. You know, it is a big deal that this other servant owed him some money. So how is he going to deal with that servant? Well, we know the story. We just heard it. He says, you owe me money, and you've got to pay it back, and if you don't, I'm throwing you into jail. And the same is true for us, you know. We've been forgiven a huge debt from God. That debt has been taken away from us, and people are going to continue sinning against us. Yes, they are going to continue sinning against us. Yes, we are going to be hurt by other people and the sinfulness that affects us. And yes, at times we're going to be angry about that because it's going to hurt. So should we forgive them? Well, the answer is yes, right? We should, but do we forgive them because we have to, because we're obligated to? Or do we forgive them because we get to? Because we have this huge source of forgiveness that comes from Christ. Because God's mercy and forgiveness for us is greater, ultimately, than the mercy and the forgiveness that we would extend to others. He is the source of our forgiveness. That doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy for us. I mean, no doubt, Joseph had to have struggled with this. He had to have struggled to forgive his brothers. But as a child of God, Joseph knew that even though his brothers meant what they did for evil, God meant it for good. Despite how others may mistreat you, God never will. He can use your experiences, both good and bad, for his purposes to shape and mold your character. So when we are holding on to bitterness against someone, we cannot rely upon our own strength to overcome that, because honestly, by our own reason and strength, we want to stay mad, right? We want to exact revenge. And nobody would really blame us if we did hold on to it. But God has given us the means to forgive. And as Christians, that is our goal. Our goal is to be merciful as the Lord has been merciful to me. And let us not forget also, has been merciful to that person who has sinned against us. That is why we can extend mercy to those who have sinned against us, because of the great forgiveness that God has given to us through our Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, as once you kept Joseph from evil and brought good from his suffering in Egypt, deliver us by your grace that we may learn patience in trials. Teach us to be slow to judge, quick to forgive, and steadfast in love for you and for one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Lord, you have shown great compassion to us. Teach us to show compassion to others, that we may welcome the stranger, love our neighbor in need, and be attentive to those new to the faith or vulnerable to temptation. Help us to serve the refugee seeking safety, and give us opportunity to share your gifts with those who live in poverty and want. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, bless those who preach and teach your word, and give the hearers willing ears to hear and willing hearts to learn the scriptures well. Bless those now training to be pastors and church workers. Grant to all the baptized the aid of your Holy Spirit, so that receiving your gospel with joy, we may share it freely with those outside the household of faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Mighty God, give wisdom and courage to our elected and appointed leaders that they may pursue justice, seek peace, and protect life from its natural beginning to its natural end. Bring an end to the threats of terror and violence among the peoples, and open all nations to the voice of your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Eternal provider, we thank you for watching over us in this life with gifts of fellow servants who serve us in many ways. We ask you to watch over, guard, and give strength to those who serve us as emergency workers, firefighters, law enforcement, military personnel, utility workers, medical persons, teachers, counselors, food producers, and retail workers. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed Father, you know our weaknesses of body and soul. Give to the troubled in mind your peace, to the suffering relief, to the sick healing, to the grieving comfort, and deliver the dying into everlasting life. Hear us especially for those who are in need of prayer. We pray specifically for Margaret and Bernita, Carolyn, Charlotte, Henry, Isaac, Julie, Loretta, Kathy, Carlin, Shirley, Bryston, Bill, Jason, Lori, Sue, Deborah, Becky, David, Brian, Kathy, Pastor Shiwi, and Pastor Berlin, and for all of those that we name in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty and everlasting God, deliver us from temptation and the powers of evil, that we may be faithful unto death and receive from your hand the crown of everlasting life. Whether we live or die, we belong to you, and we pray you to comfort us with this promise. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray the prayer which our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer,
and let my cry come to you.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn.